Hello, my name is Jordan Tardo, and I'm the lead pastor at Experience Church. I'd like to take a moment and just say thank you so much for tuning in to our podcast today. I hope this message blesses you. I hope it encourages you. I hope it strengthens you for what God has called you to today. Well, that being said, we've been in a series called The Little Things. What we've been doing is really the thought of, in the scripture of the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23, it says, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master." Enter into the joy of your master. And scripture here, Jesus is talking, he's sharing a parable. And really, this is a text that we believe we will hear. Really, it's a text about the kingdom of God and us entering into the kingdom of God, into heaven. And we believe these are the words we will hear as Christians, as believers, those who confess with their mouths and believe in their hearts that Jesus is Lord and he rose from the dead. These are the words we'll hear: "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so really, this is where we get the text from with little things, because he says right there, you've been faithful over a little. Yeah, it doesn't say you've been faithful over the big stuff that everybody's seen. No, well done, good and faithful servant, because you've been faithful over the little things. And so oftentimes in our society, in our world, we can get so caught up in the stuff that everybody sees that we can miss the most important things, which are the little things, the little consistencies, the little things that matter to God. We talked about obedience last week with Ananias. Today, I want to talk to you from the story in the Bible, a disciple named Andrew. And what I've been doing, and I'm going to keep doing through this series, is really finding men and women in the text that really don't get a lot of text. They don't get a lot of scripture. They don't get a lot of really a recognition. They're in the Bible and they're important, but they really aren't very noticed, if you will. And the cool thing is, even though they're not noticed, they all make a very large impact in the kingdom of God. And so Andrew was a disciple. He doesn't get a lot of the recognition that some of the other disciples get. In fact, he's hardly in the text at all. You could maybe read it 5, 6, 8 times that he's in the actual New Testament all the way through. And so even though he was very little written about, he made an incredibly large impact in the scripture. And let me show it to you in John chapter 1, starting in verse 35. It says, "The next day John was there again." This is talking about John the Baptist. "He was there again with his two disciples. When he saw Jesus passing, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, 'What do you want?'" Jesus is doing his thing. He's going, he's working, he's doing ministry. Two men here, this is the Son of God, this is the Lamb of God, this is the Messiah. So they immediately leave John the Baptist and they go and follow Jesus. Jesus notices them. He turns around and is like, "Bro, what do you want?" You know what I'm saying? You ever had somebody just following you around? And you're like, "Bro, why are you following me around?" You know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Okay, cool. Let's see what Jesus doing. Scripture says that they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Verse 39, "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said, okay, and who had followed Jesus. Check out verse 41. "The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,' that is Christ. And he brought him to Jesus and looked at him." Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which means, or translated, is Peter." In this text, Andrew, again, is not one of the disciples that's mentioned very well. He's one of the 12 disciples that walked with Jesus. Here's where he starts to follow Jesus. The Bible says he hears that he's the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Son of God, and he follows Jesus, him and one of his friends. The Bible says he spends the day with Jesus, and then immediately after spending the day with Jesus, the Bible says he runs and finds his brother named Simon Peter. Okay, now all of us probably in this room, most of us at least, know who Peter is. He wasn't like Andrew. He was the brother of Andrew, but Peter was very recognized. In fact, Peter wrote some of the New Testament. Peter was the one that was one of the three closest disciples to Jesus. Peter was the one that followed Jesus. He was the only one that followed Jesus. He ended up denying Jesus three times. He's the only one that Jesus met with personally when he's meeting with Jesus, Peter, and he says, "Hey, if you love me, feed my sheep." So Peter's all throughout the text in the New Testament made an incredible impact, but it all of the impact that Peter made, and in fact, you and I are still walking and really receiving this, the ripple effects of the impact Peter made, but it all started with Andrew. With Andrew seeing the Messiah, following the Messiah, spending time with the Messiah, and then connecting Peter to the Messiah. And so Andrew, if you're taking notes, I titled it like the silent connector, the quiet connector, the one, and I think it's so important, the one that we see. He's always throughout the text, if you read the New Testament, almost always he's connecting someone to Jesus, or he's connecting someone with a group of people. He's a connector, and I love this. He connects Peter to Jesus. Let me show it to you again. Let's read it again. John chapter 1 and verse 38. If you pull it up for me, Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked. They replied, "Teacher," which means, they replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Verse 39, "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. They remained with him the rest of the day. I love this. We're learning about Peter, learning about Andrew, who connected Peter, who had an incredible impact. I love that Andrew, although he's very unrecognized, he did some incredible things that really we can learn from that are important on the little things. The first thing he did, I love this, he connected with Jesus. Before ever connecting with anybody else, he connected with Jesus. The scripture says, I love it. If you go back to me, for me, it says he remained there for the rest of the day. Reminds me of the text in John. Everybody knows the scripture in John. Not everybody, maybe everybody. We're talking about whoever. John, scripture says, Jesus is speaking. He says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. And then he goes on. He says, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is speaking. He says, if you remain in me, and I remain in you, you'll bear much fruit. But I love it. Ben, if you don't remain apart from me, you're not gonna be successful. You're not gonna have the life that you desire to have. And it all comes back to Jesus showing us this picture of really what Andrew did, that the very most important thing for every person on this planet is connecting with Jesus. Oh, that we would spend our lives, hear me, that we would spend our lives, our greatest pursuit, the most energy on connecting with Jesus. That we would spend, hear me, that we would spend a lifetime connecting with Jesus. Why? Why is connecting with Jesus so important? Because apart from him, we can do nothing. And oftentimes we read this text and we think, oh, that means successful. That means, oh, I'll have a good job. Oh, that means I'll have a good relationship. Oh, that means I'll be successful with the giftings that I have in town. That's not necessarily what Jesus is talking about. Yes, that's part of it. But what he's really saying is apart from me, you'll never be whole. You'll never be able to be satisfied and fulfilled in your life without him. If we understand this and we really believe this, and most Christians do, if I sat with you one-on-one and I said, do you think Jesus is the only one that satisfies? Most of us would say yes. Or do you believe Jesus is the only one that can make you whole? Most of us would say yes. Do you believe Jesus is the only one that can truly heal your heart from brokenness? Yes. Most of us would say this. If that's the case, then why are we spending so much energy on connecting with other things that causes us to miss connecting with him? We live in a broken world. I'll say it again. We live in an absolutely broken world. Jesus is the only one. He's the only one who can heal our brokenness. He's the only one that can make us whole. And when I say the world is filled with brokenness, brokenness starts here. And when I say here, I'm pointing to me, but you point at you. Amen, brother. Amen. Brokenness starts here. We live in such a broken world. Jesus is the only answer to our brokenness. He's the only one that can really bring joy, peace, comfort, health, and wholeness. He's the only one. So if that's the case, if we really believe that, are we really spending the energy that we should be spending connecting with him? Oh, that we would never be so prideful. Oh, we are such a prideful people. Oh, that we would never feel and be so prideful that we think we can do anything without him. Amen. Oh, how prideful are we to think that we can run this business without him? Oh, how prideful we can be to think that we can have a healthy relationship without him. The source of wholeness is Jesus. He is the hope of the world. He is the only hope. He is the only hope. There's nothing else. There's literally nothing else on this planet that will heal our brokenness other than Jesus. And he knows this. And so he says, remain in me. Oh, I love the heart of Andrew that he says, I want to first remain with you. Why? Because I know you are the source of life. And as Christians, oh, would you hear me? If we call ourselves Christians, how apathetic and prideful could we be to think we'll just make time when we have time to connect with him, when we feel like it or when we're not busy. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, and I'm not trying to cause condemnation, but I am trying to convict, because this is the heart of God, that we would be a people that remain in him, that our greatest pursuit would be Jesus. Why? He's the only one. There's no other answer. There's no other answer. There's no other answer. It's just Jesus. And I love that Andrew connects with Jesus before he goes and connects with somebody else. Here's what we have done as a generation, as a society. We are so caught up in trying to build a community of people like-minded that we'll take community and we'll make it Lord. And so we'll connect, we'll have a heart and a pursuit greater to pursue community with God's people than actually pursuing and connecting with God. Can I tell you something right now? The most important thing in our lives is connecting with the God of the universe, not connecting with God's people on this universe. Well, God wants me to have some good friends. Yes, he does. Absolutely. But I know this, I've seen a lot of people around some good community, and guess what? They get around that community and they're good, they get away from that community, they don't even have a relationship with God. Why? Because a community of people is not the source. A community of people is not the hope. Oh my goodness, if you're my hope for my salvation, I'm in trouble. If I'm your hope for salvation, whew, you're really in trouble. I cannot save you. You cannot save me. I cannot heal you. You cannot heal me. I cannot bring joy. I might be able to bring a moment of joy, but I can't bring a sustaining, lasting joy. I can talk about peace, but I can't bring you peace. I can talk about comfort, but I can't bring you comfort. There is only one. And his name is Jesus. And we live in such a broken world. Don't get caught up in the brokenness of our world that you miss that we have a God who brings life. All we have to do is connect with him. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you because I believe this. The enemy has lied to us so long because let me tell you what the enemy tries to do. The enemy knows that he is the source of life, Jesus I'm talking about. And so the enemy will do everything he can to keep you and me from connecting to him. And he'll wrap it pretty. He'll wrap it real pretty. Say things like, man, you just got a busy schedule. He'll wrap it real busy. He'll wrap it real nice and real pretty and say, man, you know what? You really got to connect with that relationship because, man, if you don't connect with the relationship, you may not get to where you want to be. He'll wrap it real pretty and say, man, you got to provide for your family. And so, man, you got to work. You got to make sure you're working. I know, it's a lot. You got no time. He'll wrap it real pretty and say things like, well, you know, it's not really that important. He'll wrap it real pretty and he'll say things like, you know what? You're not good enough for God. You're not good for enough. You've done too many things. Or you know what? You haven't. God doesn't want to spend time with you. And can I tell you, we serve a God. The Bible says, remain in me and I will remain in you. In it, you'll bear much fruit. What is the fruit? Love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, fulfillment, and satisfaction. Can I challenge you that we would be like Andrew? That we would connect to Jesus. Oh, let it be. Hear me. Oh, let it be the greatest pursuit of our lives. The greatest pursuit, the greatest passion is connecting to Jesus. The greatest pursuit and passion is connecting to Jesus. Why? Because apart from him, I'm nothing. There needs to be, hear me, there needs to be this in the church, I'm talking about in Christians, there needs to be this humility that happens in our hearts where we go back to the understanding that we need him for everything in our lives. You know how the Bible says, you are the light of the world. You wouldn't take a light or a lamp and hide it under a basket. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about scripture? You know, we learned the song in kids' church, like, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it. This little light of mine. Now, y'all, this is terrible crowd participation. I know y'all know the song. We have a song about it. We know it. We sing it to our children. This little light of mine, it's my son's favorite song. He's 2 years old. We sing it every single night. We have this concept, this little light of mine. Well, here's the thing. I believe that we're the light of the world, but let me give you an illustration very quick. I got an illustration. Y'all know how I like illustrations. Here's what happens. Oftentimes, we'll say we're the light of the world, but we're walking around our lives like this. We go into our work. We go into our schools. Who knows what people online are thinking about me right now as they're watching this? And this is great. But there's no life. What's the purpose of this light if it's not connected to the source? So here's what happens. We got a bunch of Christians that are lights, but we're not connecting to the source. And so now we're going into our workplaces trying to shine the love and light of Jesus, but we ain't got it ourselves. Oh, talk to us. Yeet. Yes, I said yeet in church. But watch what happens when I remain in him and he remains in me. Now when I go throughout the place, in my workplace, in my school, in my neighborhood, in my community, now love shines. See, because oftentimes we think the light in which we shine is our works. But the light in which we shine is not our works. The light in which we shine is Jesus shining through us. And through that, we overflows into our works. Oh, he's preaching up here, brother. Amen, amen, I am. But here's what we're doing. We're so caught up in the busyness of this world. And we're so caught up. I'm going to go a step further. Am I stepping on toes? It's okay. You can forgive me because the Bible says you have to. But we are so caught up in blaming everybody else why the world's not the way we want it, when God is waiting for us to stay connected to him. The enemy's using the very blame that we're giving to keep us from staying connected. Why? Because when we're connected, that's when change happens. Oh, that it would be the greatest pursuit. I will say it 100 more times, probably more than that because I got two more services. Oh, that we would have a life of the greatest pursuit of our life is connecting to Jesus. Why? He's the source. And he's the only source that brings life. Now, there's some substitutes. There's some substitutes that may make you feel okay for a little while. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just me, amen, brother. There's some substitutes, but that's not true joy. That's not true wholeness. That's a facade or a band-aid to try to fix or oversee the problem, which is the brokenness that our own sin has brought. And so the only one who truly makes us whole is Jesus. And so if that's the case, our greatest pursuit must be like Andrew. Connecting to Jesus. Amen, somebody? Amen. Scripture says, as we read on, John chapter 1, verse 41, it says, the first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. The first thing, that Andrew does after he's been connecting with Jesus, the Bible says he goes and finds his brother and he says, we found the Messiah. I found him. Then I love it. The text goes on and says, and he brought him to Jesus. Oh, that our greatest pursuit in this life would be connecting to Jesus. And then connecting others to Jesus. Oh, that our greatest pursuit in this life would be connecting to Jesus, but then also helping others connect to Jesus. I love Andrew. I love Andrew's heart. The first thing he said, I gotta tell somebody. I gotta help somebody out. I found the Savior. Messiah means Savior. I found the one who saves. I found the one who brings the wholeness and healing. I found the one. I gotta go tell somebody. He goes and finds his brother, and immediately he says, here he is. And he brought him to Jesus. Oh, that we would be a people, that we would not get so caught up in our own personal pursuits of building our own personal platforms or brands or kingdoms, that we miss the greatest pursuit should be connecting with Jesus, but then ultimately also connecting others to Jesus. Could it be that the purpose behind why you are working where you are is not to make a bunch of money, but to connect people from that place to Jesus? Could it be that you are in the school that you are in, not just to have a good time and meet some cool people and get you a boo thing so that you can get married one day? Yeah, I know some of y'all want y'all boo thing. I know it is. But it's because you're in that place because God said, at this time, in this period, I need someone who's gonna be a light, who's gonna remain connected, who's gonna remain knowing, understand I'm the source, even in the brokenness. And so they're willing to step up and say, I know that I'm in this place for a reason, and that is to show others and connect others to the source of life. Could it be that you're in the neighborhood that you were in? Could it be that you're in the groups that you were in? Because Jesus is so into the details of all of our lives that he loves someone around you so much that he sent you. Could it be that Jesus loves someone else around you so much that he sees you, so he sent you? The greatest mission of every Christian, not every pastor, the greatest mission of every Christian, the greatest mission of every Christian is connecting people to Jesus. Everything we do, hear me, everything we do should revolve around two things. Connecting to Jesus first, and then now, God, use me. Use my healthy marriage to connect somebody else to you. God, use my healthy soul to connect somebody else. Use the freedom that you've brought to me to connect someone. Everything that we do, God, use the money and the resources that you bless me with. Use it to connect somebody. Everything we do should revolve around connecting to Jesus first, and then connecting others to Jesus. Why? Because he's the only hope. He's the only hope. Most of us probably already figured it out, but maybe we haven't. But the new house is not the hope. The number in our bank accounts is not the hope. The friendships and the people and the relationships we are on, they're not the hope. There's only one. And so if we know this, then why are we not spending our lives really connecting with Jesus and then also connecting others to Jesus? It's the greatest purpose. And I'll say this. I won't even say purpose. It is a purpose, but I'll say it this way. It's the greatest privilege on this planet to be able to be used by the God of the universe to help someone else find the life that only he brings. Amen. I got another illustration. I'm glad you asked for it because I brought it. Okay, good. See, oftentimes this is where we are in our culture and our society. This is our friends. This is our community. This is our world. Whether we like them or not, the people that we agree with and the people that we don't agree with. This is where we are, and they're out here, and they're trying to find the source. They're looking through substances and through relationships, and they're trying to find the source, and they just, there's no source of life. No matter what they do on their own, they will never find, we will never find the source of life on our own, okay? And so this is what we look like. And so then, this is who Jesus is. He says, we are the light of the world. I'll figure it out at some point. There we go. We're the light of the world. As ugly as this cord is, as simplistic as this cord is, as unnoticed as this cord is, I've never been to somebody's house, walked in, saw the giant 100-inch TV and said, man, that's a nice extension cord. I've never walked in and said, man, whew, the color of that extension cord, money. It's one of the most unnoticed things, but it is what brings the connection to whatever it is that's trying to connect. It brings life to it. Let me show you. You probably know what's going to happen. If you don't, we'll pray for you. That one just came to me. I'm sorry. Sometimes I make myself laugh. Get over it, okay? Chill out. Gotta finish. Give me a second. I don't know why that made me laugh, but it did. Okay, cool. Sometimes I got my own dad jokes up here. Okay, cool. Now, here's what happens. Someone who was far from the source found the source because someone was willing to reach out and show the source. What if the purpose of our life is not to be seen by the world, but to be this? What if, amen, brother, whoever that was back there, what if the greatest satisfaction in life was right here? And what if we're missing the greatest fulfillment in life? One of two reasons why. Because we're not willing to take the time to connect ourselves, or we're missing a greater part of fulfillment, and that's the privilege of Jesus using us to reach someone else. And so we're missing it because we're so caught up in trying to continue to build our own kingdoms for whatever reason. What if the greatest satisfaction and fulfillment on this life was this? What if the healing of our land looked like this? What if it didn't look like this radical everybody? What if it just looked like people saying, I want to spend my life connecting to Jesus, who is the source and the hope of the world. And then I want to go out of an overflow of that, and I want to connect somebody else to him, because I know that's where true change happens. Why? Because I can't change people. You can't change people. I can't change me. You can't change you. Only Jesus can. So let us be like Andrew. I'm closing, I promise. Let us be like Andrew, that we would spend a lifetime of energy, of pursuit, connecting to Jesus. Here's the question we have to ask ourselves. We all have to ask it. And everything in our life, all the things we have, hear me, all the things we have, do any of them satisfy like Jesus? If the answer is no, then why isn't he our greatest pursuit? And our greatest pursuit doesn't mean our greatest belief. Our greatest belief should be now a drive to get us to go to the greatest pursuit, which means, Jesus, I got to connect with you because I know you are the one that brings life and wholeness in my life. And oh, that our greatest pursuit would say that, God, we want to see change, and we know that you are the only one that can bring change. And so, God, we want to help somebody around us connect to you. What if the greatest privilege of your life, of my life, is just connecting one person like Andrew did? And from that one connection, Peter is still, his words are changing the world. Oh, that we would spend our lives connecting to Jesus. Can I challenge you? The enemy of our soul will try to create any lie he can to keep you from that. Can I challenge you that the enemy of your soul, of my soul, will do everything he can to keep you from connecting to Jesus, and then also to connecting somebody else to Jesus? Why? Because he knows Jesus is the only hope. He is the only hope. When we're on our deathbeds, when we're all 125 years old, I mean, that's how long I'm going to live. You live how you want to live, but we're all 125 years old. going to say, man, I wish I would have had more money. We're not going to say, man, I wish I would have had that one extra bedroom. We're not going to say, man, I wish I would have had that one other car. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when we're on our deathbeds, that's not what we're going to say. I believe when we're on our deathbeds, every one of us, my prayer is that we would say, my greatest pursuit was connecting to Jesus, because he's the one that made me whole. He's the one that healed my heart. He's the one that brought freedom. Oh, that we spend a lifetime to the hope of the world, that when we're on our deathbed, that we would say the greatest privilege of our lives has been connecting others around us to the source of life, and that's Jesus. We're not going to say, man, I wish I would have had some extra followers. Man, I wish I would have hit that number. No, it's going to literally be, oh my gosh, I'm just so grateful that I spent and pursued and wasted, if you will. It's not a waste, but just spilled out my life on connecting to Jesus and connecting others to Jesus. Why? Because we know he's the hope. And he's the only one that heals the brokenness that we see. Oh, can I challenge you? He is the only one. Let us spend a lifetime connecting to him and connecting others to him. And if we do, hear me, I'm closing. I wasn't meaning to cry. It just happened. Get over it. If we do this, I believe with all my heart that we'll hear the words that Andrew heard. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with the little things. See, connecting to Jesus is the little things. No one sees you connect to Jesus. If you're really connecting with him, the Bible even talks about it. You shut your door and you connect. Nobody sees it. Nobody knows if you're connecting with him or not. It's the little things. Nobody sees if you're talking to your coworker or your schoolmate in class about Jesus. No one sees when you stand up. No one sees. It's the little things. Oh my gosh, I believe it with all my heart. If we live a life pursuing, connecting with Jesus and connecting others to Jesus, we will hear the words, the greatest words that we should all long to hear. It will be the greatest celebration of your life. Well done. Good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. When no one else was, you have been faithful with the little thing. Oh, that we would spend a lifetime pursuing passionately connecting to Jesus and connecting others to Jesus. Can I challenge you? Don't let anything distract you from that. Don't let anything distract you from that. Why? Because he is the hope of the world. I'll make it more personal. He's the hope of your life and mine. He's the hope of your marriage and mine. He's the hope of your healing and mine. He's the hope of your freedom and mine. He's the hope of your deliverance and mine. He's the hope of your peace and mine. He's the hope of your joy and mine. He's the hope of your comfort and mine. He's the hope of your grace and mine. Oh, I go on forever. He is the hope of the world. Let us spend a lifetime. If we call ourselves Christians, let us spend a lifetime letting nothing else distract us from pursuing, connecting with Jesus and connecting others to Jesus.